We're sisters, best friends, and authors on a mission to help you stoke your creative fire and live the life of your dreams. We believe that purpose fuels passion and that creativity is your secret weapon for mass construction. There's never been a better time to bless the world with your dream realized. You're listening to The Kate and Abby Show.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of The Kate and Abby Show. Today we are discussing how to create instant internal conflict without any rewriting. Highly requested. Do you ever feel like you're reading back through your book, or maybe you're midway through your writing journey with a novel and you're thinking as you listen to this podcast, perhaps as you listen to some of Abby's teaching videos, like, do I have enough internal conflict in my characters? Am I going to need to do major rewriting to bring internal conflict into the story? A lot of these concepts are very multi-layered. We really have to delve into them and see how do they apply to our stories specifically. Today, we're going to talk about some ways that you can very easily find the internal conflict that might be hiding right under your nose and bring it to the surface in really simple ways that are a lot easier than you think. But before we get into that,
first we have to thank our sponsors, who are you guys. You are the ones who support this show and keep it going, and we so appreciate your help. So if you get value out of this podcast, go to patreon.com/thekateandabbyshow and help us keep this podcast alive and free of interruptions. Also, every month on our Patreon, specifically for our patrons in that community, we do a special monthly live hangout session. And that is a live stream that we do every month on the last day of each month, kind of wrapping up what we've been through that month, what we are working on with our creative projects, the future of the Kate and Abby Show, different upcoming episodes. And it just gives us this great opportunity to chat with you guys in a very close, like small
organic
group.
Small group setting. It feels like fun. If we all got together at a coffee shop and sat down and talked about, you know, had our own little writing group. That's really what it feels like. And so it gives us the opportunity to say thank you in a deeper way to those of you who are supporting our podcast so much and helping us continue to do what we do here in such a tangible way. And it also gives us a great opportunity to answer some questions you guys have about writing and brainstorming and all the things.
Yeah.
Creative well-being.
Fun. So if you want to be in on that, go to patreon.com/thekateandabbyshow and you can join at any level. You will get access to the monthly live hangout sessions.
Also, I wanted to let you guys know my new book is out. It's a nonfiction book. You've probably heard me talk about it off and on my YouTube channel. It's called The More and the Less. And it's all about how wellness and mindfulness practices in your everyday life in so many little ways can actually shape your creative inspiration. It can inspire you. It can motivate you in your writing projects and just to live a wonderful and vibrant life. So if you want to check that book out, it's a little bit of everything I talk about on my YouTube channel. You can now find that book on my website with the link below. It's called The More and the Less, and I'd love to invite you to check it out if you'd like to. I'm really excited that it's finally out. So a lot of you guys have been hearing me talk about it for a long time, so that is
so
now
exciting.
Available.
It's also beautiful. Like, it's so state-of-the-art gorgeous, like a visual feast to just go through this book. It's amazing.
It was a fun journey.
Such a great job with like all the photographs and all the design of the book. It's just like, it's stunning. It's a work of art by itself.
I'm so glad you think so. Yeah, because it was the first book that I really designed the entire thing myself, not just writing the actual book, but also doing all the photographs and doing all the formatting and all the designs. So really the whole thing was a labor of love. It took well over a year to create. And it was a lot of fun. And it was like working on an art project.
Yeah.
It goes beyond a book. It's more like an art project because it has a ton of my photography in it as well. So check it out with the link below. If you're listening, you can go to the YouTube version and you can check it out with the link below.
Awesome. Yeah, do that for sure right away. But first, stick around and listen to this
podcast.
let's
talk about creating instant internal conflict without rewriting.
Yeah.
So I think so many of us can get intimidated by like, oh man, you know, if I missed some of these points, I'm going to have to go back to page one and rewrite my book. And that's a really daunting thought. It can be really off-putting to think about having to rewrite your book or large portions of it. So
yeah, it's definitely something that you don't have to do if you want to insert more internal conflict into your character's journey, you don't necessarily have to, you know, start from scratch or like, you know, rewrite the whole draft, right, or even do heavy revisions. It's really a very simple recipe, and I think that a lot of writing advice out there can overcomplicate it and make you kind of get pulled in so many different directions that it stops being simple. But it's really a very simple recipe, and it's what I always talk about on my channel: desire, fear, and misbelief. And those three things don't necessarily have to be super clear to the protagonist at first, because a lot of times we don't even understand fully our own internal conflict, but we do know how it makes us feel. And so really the emotional side of it is kind of what you want to put a spotlight on whenever you can throughout your story. And it's funny because I was just doing this earlier today when I was writing. I was going back through something I wrote yesterday and realizing that a lot of it was more action-oriented and not too much in the character's head, what they were thinking. And I realized, like, how can I put some more internal conflict in here, just sprinkle it in here and there, without having to, you know, rewrite this whole thing? And it was a fun challenge because it forced me to pause, to like, you know, read a few paragraphs and then pause and look at, okay, what is this character really feeling right here? You know, what are some thoughts and scenarios that might be running through their mind? And how can I show that without just coming out and telling the reader how this character is feeling, you know? And so like finding little ways to do that, and you don't even have to hit pause on the story for like a long time to, you know, okay, now we have to go into the character's head and go through all these thoughts and all this internal conflict. It can be very sparse, and that almost feels more natural when it's like a thought here, a little piece of internal dialogue, a worry that they might have about something, or a doubt, something that's making them hesitate to take action on something. And all those little things, they're like little windows into the internal conflict, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Finding small ways. It doesn't have to be these big pivotal moments. Yeah. It can be asking yourself, what is my character's desire? What is their fear? What is their misbelief? And what are the little moments that in subtle ways I can draw that to the surface? A lot of times with material that's already there, we're not even talking about like, oh, let's rewrite the book and invent a new internal conflict and put it there. Most likely your character already has internal conflict, and it doesn't have to be about something big. It can be something really small. Say you're writing a contemporary and the internal conflict is that your main character wants to ask their boss for a raise, but is afraid to do so because they feel like maybe they're not worthy of having that raise. Right? Really small everyday conflict that we might face in our everyday life, right? Really common, nothing like, you know, I'm afraid to go slay the dragon. It doesn't have to be this big, fantastic conflict. It can be something really small. And that's enough to propel your whole story forward if we're really tapping into that emotion, because that's something so many people can connect with. We're dealing with themes that go beyond just the character. Now we're tapping into, oh, doubting your worthiness. A lot of us can connect with that. So we're tapping into, like, in subtle ways, really truths that people face in their everyday life.
Yeah, for sure. And also I think, like, as far as the character's internal dialogue and internal thoughts go, so much of our hesitations and doubts are centered around imagining scenarios, whether they are worst case scenarios or best case scenarios. And this is something that can be really fun to play with your specific character and their voice and see how it unfolds. But when your character is going into a scene and they're gonna make some decision or take some action towards something, instead of just watching them do that and go through those motions, can we pause and see a little bit of what's going on in their head as they think of either the worst case scenario or the best case scenario, possible outcomes of what's going to happen next in this scene? And I think you'll be surprised by just practicing this exercise with any scene where your character is about to take action on something, maybe they don't follow through with it because self-doubt gets the better of them, or maybe they do follow through with it, what is the decision-making process that's happening in their brain before that action is taken? And how can you leverage your character's unique voice through that decision-making process to show us what's going on inside them? That's really all internal conflict is. Right. And I think you'll be surprised by how much flavor and life and conflict and intrigue that creates in the story. Just that one little moment of thinking through the different possible outcomes of what will happen next, you know, and making the reader realize what the character is thinking makes them an active participant in the scene.
Yeah.
Because you think, you know, you're thinking with the character like, is that really what's going to happen? What they're worried is going to happen? And then something maybe completely opposite happens. And then you're surprised. But you also feel like you're engaging in the moment because you're watching this character's decision-making process. And so it can really be that simple. And that's what I always try to advise writers to do when they ask me, how do you show and not tell internal conflict? Because obviously when we're writing our character profiles and we're outlining, we might know exactly what their internal conflict is, exactly what their fatal flaw is, the lie that they tell themselves, and what's holding them back. But most chances are the character's not going to know that about themselves, because they would probably need a therapist to tell them that about themselves.
Right.
So where the internal conflict can really be shown is through their decision-making process, even if it's small decisions. And seeing how they arrive at those decisions is what showcases their conflict.
Right. Exactly.
And it's really, it's something that you can go back and add in to those scenes, because you already have your character making these decisions, taking actions, taking steps forward. You know, if they're an active character and they're not just being punched around by the plot, then they're making decisions. Okay, why? Why did they choose that? Or why did they choose not to do that? And can we see a little bit more behind the scenes of what that process looked like in their head?
Mm-hmm. Right. And we kind of touched on that too in our episode we did a couple months back that was showing versus telling. And we showed examples of how you can show more conflict. I think we're talking about more in terms of dialogue. But actually, it was just, you know, writing prose in general.
Right.
How you can show the conflict more than telling. How you can make that shift from finding a balance between showing and telling. Because sometimes it can be like, well, how can I? I'm telling the whole story. You know what I mean? that can trip you up sometimes. And don't sweat it too much. Have fun with it. You can always read back through it. You can edit it. That's what the editing process is for. But it can help you find a balance of, like, how can I show more of this conflict? Mm. Because that's, like Abby's saying, that's really what is going to help your book sing.
Yeah.
Really.
And sometimes you show and tell. And then through the editing process, you can take out the telling parts. And that's okay. Like, it's okay to have that in there in the first draft. That was something that I talked about in my last video, bookish pet peeves video. One of the things that annoys me in a book is like when the writer shows me something and then tells me in the next line. It's like showing and then telling, like, oh no, you just showed me perfectly. You don't have to tell me. And that's something that should be caught in the editing process. So don't sweat it if you're doing that in the first draft, because like I do that all the time in the first draft. And it's okay as long as you're going through editing it. And before you publish it, obviously, you are finding those areas where it's like, oh, I showed that perfectly. I can take out that next line where I then go on to tell the reader what I just showed them.
Mm-hmm.
But really going, really emphasizing the conflict that's happening inside your characters, it never hurts. It never hurts to emphasize it and go pretty heavy on the internal conflict, because you can always dial it back later.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to make it as on the nose as you did in the first draft. And having more to work with is always better than having less to work with.
Mm. Yeah, totally.
With pretty much everything that you create.
Yeah, because those are your building materials, you know, and then you can you can always, through the process and the practice, fine-tune and step back and look at it from different angles. But give yourself plenty to work with, and don't let these concepts and ideas trip you up by needing to stop and analyze too much. I do that all the time when I'm writing. Abby and I are working on a co-write right now, a new series, which many of you have heard us talk about. You can sign up for our newsletter about it below with the link. But as I've been writing that, there have been times when I've been like, oh, you know, I'm telling too much here. Especially within dialogue, I always do this, like, oh, I'm telling too much about expressions, because I get really hung up on expressions. I'm like, I want and sometimes if I'm too focused on, make sure you don't do that, make sure you don't do that, it slows my writing down probably threefold, slowing it down. So what I've learned to do is just let myself do whatever I want. Just do whatever you want. Make it as messy as you want to. It's fine. And then when we read back through it several hours later or one day later, then we take out anything that's like, oh, that's a little too much. Oh, that's a little too much. We'll take that out. But don't be hard on yourself, and don't do anything that's going to jam up your flow. Your flow is the most important part of your creative process. Just let yourself explore however you need to. And then when you read back through, you can look at it with a little bit of a different perspective. That's part of the fun.
Yeah, exactly. And that's like the childlike creativity that you want to cultivate. It's not pausing every moment to like hesitate and doubt, like, oh, I shouldn't be doing that. I shouldn't be doing this. I need to do it like this, like that. Like you said, it jams up your creativity, because your creativity should be like a natural flow that is not interrupted by any criticism or self-doubt. I mean, that's why five-year-olds are the most highly genius creative out of any people group, because they're not
Doubting themselves.
Exactly. They're not analyzing themselves, doubting themselves, and comparing themselves to other people.
Comparison's a big one. Or comparing yourself to how you were before.
Right. Like, oh, I wrote way better last week.
And a lot of, we can get hung up on not comparing ourselves with other writers. Very important. But we can also get hung up on comparing current work to what work was at this point in time, or what if this book isn't as good as this book. But we need to learn how to look at our writing as a larger body of work.
Yeah.
Right? So when we look at like Van Gogh's paintings, we're not like, that painting's better than that painting he did. It's like all this, like this beautiful flow. It's like, wow, that's amazing to watch this transformation. And we look at it for the larger body of work it is. Just small little nugget of truth there. Look at your work as a larger body of work. I know that's a bit of a bunny trail, but still, it for what it's worth, there you go. But as you read through your manuscript, find places in action and dialogue, find little moments where you can bring that internal conflict to the surface. A lot of times how someone reacts to something that someone said to them, or as Abby was saying earlier, how they make a decision, maybe something that they're doing, someone they're avoiding talking to, or someone that they get defensive with, is showing us all little glimpses into that person's internal conflict, what they're dealing with inside, their fears, their misconceptions about life.
Yeah.
Those are all little moments where we can see small windows into that person's heart, into their conflict.
Yeah. For sure. Another great way to sprinkle this in is through backstory and flashbacks, which you guys probably know. I love flashbacks and backstory when it's well done. And it can be really, really powerful for emphasizing your character's internal conflict. And I've made a few videos on flashbacks and backstory. We did a podcast one time a while ago on that story mining episode. But basically with flashbacks, you have this unique opportunity to... And they don't have to be super long flashbacks either. When I say flashback, I'm not talking about necessarily like hitting pause in the story for page after page after page. It can even be like a very small glimpse of something that your character is reminded of because of something that's happening currently.
Like your upcoming book utilizes that really, really, really well.
I did that a lot with the Lighthouse book. And you guys will see that when you read it. But a lot of little moments of like, just for a second, we go back in time with the character to a moment in time that shaped some part of their conflict or their beliefs about the world, or relationships. That's another thing that can be, I try to utilize these like mini flashbacks a lot with relationship building, because it shows us so much more about a relationship if we have a character who, you know, we introduce like a best friend character to the protagonist, and the protagonist in their narration, like for one or two sentences, throws us back to like some really great bonding moment in their past. Mm-hmm. That's so much more powerful than just saying like, oh, my best friend Jerry walks into the room. You know, how do we know that Jerry is this character's best friend?
Right.
Why?
It gives us small opportunities to show.
Yeah, like if I am thrown back for just one or two lines into the past to some really great moment in the past where these two characters became best friends.
Right.
Or proved their friendship to each other. And it doesn't have to be a big, long, detailed flashback. It can be very short and to the point. But moments like that are not just good for character building or relationship building. They're also really great for bringing internal conflict and showing how the characters have reached this point of believing what they believe about themselves and making the decisions that they make today because of something that happened in the past.
Right. And that can give you great opportunities to just add little pieces. Like Abby was saying, it doesn't have to be a big, huge flashback that takes pages and pages. So as you're going back and perhaps you're in the revising stage where you're just, hey, I'm reading casually through my first draft. This isn't major rewrites. We're just adding little pieces like, you know what? I could add a little paragraph here, or two paragraphs. And that really enhances the relationship between those two characters, as Abby was just pointing out. Right. Or this really helps you see how the protagonist has a complex relationship with their parents or with their siblings or with someone in their life. So we can add flashbacks. We can add even pieces of narration or internal dialogue also can help. You don't want to necessarily get heavy into explaining a lot because then, you know, are we riding the fence here with telling too much? Sometimes, but it can also be really helpful to have internal thought. It can add to the internal conflict. I think your book, 100 Days of Sunlight, does a great job with that. There's a lot of internal dialogue that the character is having with themselves, but it does add to helping us see their struggle. So these are all things that we can balance and add that only take a few minutes, really, to add to your manuscript. And we can see that, hey, it doesn't have to be a daunting rewrite. We can just add bits and pieces. And you'd be surprised when you finish adding all that in. When you go back and read it again, you might think, wow, this added a whole new layer to my manuscript and to my story.
A little goes a long way, for sure.
Yes.
And a little bit here and there, like you said, it builds up to be so many good layers to the story. It creates like this whole new dimension that you're kind of seeing the story through. And that can be, you can create that with very small changes. And I think it's important to celebrate those changes that you make and to, even if you just add a few lines here and there to, you know, the previous chapter you wrote, and it enhances the conflict just a little bit, that's still something to be proud of and something to be happy about and to feel like you accomplished something there. Even if you didn't, you know, write thousands of words that day and you just went back into something you wrote and you added a little bit of internal conflict, that's something that it's unquantifiable the benefit to your story that that made. So I think it's important to be proud of yourself for doing those edits and those changes, and being conscious and aware of these places where you can enhance your story and create more internal conflict. Mm. It's good stuff.
It is. And it's something to just be aware of as you go back through it. You can instantly up the internal conflict by making small little additions. Just looking for places, where can I enhance the conflict in the dialogue or in the internal dialogue that our character is having with themselves? Where can I take, you know, a moment to put a flashback? Mm-hmm. All, like Abby's saying, a little goes a long way. And if you're unsure where to begin, like, okay, well, what is the internal conflict? Like Abby always says, ask yourself, what is your character's desire? What is their fear? What is their misbelief?
Yeah.
And then write those things down. It really doesn't have to be complicated. These are very simple steps. And by taking note and literally just writing it down on a piece of paper and putting it near your laptop while you're writing, you can find areas and opportunities to bring that internal conflict that's already there to the surface and make your story even better. Make it more impactful. Make it matter.
Make your story matter. And if you have trouble like coming up with internal conflicts that are unique, desires and fears and misbeliefs, and you just feel kind of lost and aren't sure where to start, I would highly recommend using the Enneagram as a great tool to come up with unique conflicts, because it's like a unlimited resource of conflicts that are kind of like ready-made.
Yeah.
You know,
where you can be a great starting point and also a great springboard. Like you can use it as a springboard for, hey, okay, that's a cool component. Maybe I'm going to take that, I'm going to change it a little bit and then make it like this and make that the consistent benchmark.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's a good starting point.
You don't have to like use it as like, okay, this is the, you know, I have to stay within the confines of this personality type or whatever. It is good to take into account what your character's personality is and keep that personality consistent with what you've developed it to be. But the Enneagram can be a great tool for figuring out, okay, for a character who has this type of personality, what might some of their desires or some of their fears be? What might be one of the misbeliefs that's holding them back? And then also studying other stories and other characters that you love that have similar conflicts. What is it about that character that made you fall in love with them and made you relate to them? And just studying that and stories that you love can really, really help to make you a better writer, make you a better storyteller, and just give you better insight into even just human nature.
Yeah, it helps to just build that knowledge bank that you can pull from as you weave your own stories. Good inspiration.
Yeah, for sure. So hopefully you guys got a lot out of this discussion. Desire, fear, and misbelief, that's the basic recipe of internal conflict and making your characters active characters in the story, not passive punching bags for the plot. So keeping that in mind, asking yourself, what are they trying to accomplish and what is standing in their way? How is their fatal flaw connected to what's making them not able to accomplish this goal or not able to find happiness or fulfillment? And digging into that, but not pressuring yourself too much, just kind of finding places where you can sprinkle this in to your story. And even if it's not any big moment, just small ways that you can reveal that internal conflict just a little bit more through flashbacks, through dialogue, through decision-making processes, and just finding those places where you can connect your reader to the character a little bit more. So tell us what you thought of this episode. We would love to hear from you guys. Join the discussion, comment below this video. If you're not on the video version of the podcast, you can find that on Kate's YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/KAEmmons. We'd love to hear from you guys. We always love to hear your thoughts on these discussions. Thank you so much for listening and watching. We love you guys so much. And thank you to our amazing patrons who make this show possible. If you get value out of this podcast, go to patreon.com/thekateandabbyshow and help us keep it alive and free of interruptions. Until next time,
stay stoked
and rock on.